This morning I'm turning to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, I'll read to you from verse 1 to 4. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. This is what I said we are considering this morning, and my subject is true and false righteousness. In some way, I can be romance, and I hear that in your own life, okay? Now, may put a original sooner say, and this is very important thing for everyone to know, to be clearly aware of the true and false righteousness, because it has so many implications for concerning our relationship with God and our future destiny. So it's a very important thing, because we cannot claim to be Christians if we are not sure the kind of righteousness we have. So, because by the proper knowledge of God's righteousness makes every sinner to realize the need of the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which alone is able to satisfy the demand of God's law. The law of God demands perfect righteousness. And so when we are able to realize our own imperfect righteousness, then we will have that need, and we will see the necessity that indeed we need that righteousness which God has set before us, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He sent Him from glory, when He sent Him to come and die for needy sinners such as us. The can say, "Trinity, the Bible can trinity." I had who here part. We said, "Take any and come in temu any that she have been said of heaven and heaven now." It's not say or say who said, "Yet trinity, I want a papa and I never papa." If you say the whole training, the whole point training, you Yesu Christ, Yesu Christo. Na obeje ye no man o de tru ne ye man ye. Ye se ne ye na ye papa ne de be I say e bi di hu agura na ewu ko na ye fi ewi ase ko o bun something. Also, indeed the proper understanding of God's righteousness makes every person to realize how she or he is guilty before God. Because when you come to understand God's righteousness, that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He commands all of us to play for, then realize that we are guilty, because we have realized that every sin has made us people who needed to be punished by God. Every sin has made us guilty before God, and realize that, hey, then all that we claim to have done do not satisfy God to make us right with Him. So it makes us realize that we are guilty, and we have lived a life of sin, because we have not been able to fully obey God in every aspect of our life, from our childhood age to how we have become even now. We have so many disobedience, and this will indeed help us to realize that God's righteousness we lack, and that we need that which He gives through Lord Jesus Christ. So Apostle Paul, by these verses, it carries on with the message, but at least we can deal with these four verses, and it will be clear to us what I'm trying to talk about as false and true righteousness. So he will teach us by this righteousness, by this how we should know about the true righteousness. But before I move on, my question to you is that, what righteousness do you have? Each one of us, what righteousness do you have? And what righteousness are you trusting in for acceptance with God? It's a question you have to ask yourself. It's a very important question. What righteousness do you have? The thing I'm saying, I'm a verses, So be ready in my training be na ogrem. E adi also be adwen pa. Okay, so let's begin with verse 1 to 2. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So yeah, Apostle Paul is telling the believers in Rome, for this letter, epistle was written to the believers in Rome. Apostle Paul himself had not gotten there yet, but he wrote to them to confirm, to help them with the faith they have received, to teach them many things. So here he's telling them his desires and prayer. He desires to and prays for the salvation of his own people, Israel. And he tells us the reason. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So that he's praying for the people of Israel because they had a blind zeal. He had a blind zeal. That's the purpose here. That's his purpose. His crying and his prayers for the people of Israel. About four, verse there, I was saying, five born in that son, is Israel for. Or born five, am I Israel for now? Or if anything, and TMA Israel for. If you say, so they have a blind zeal. I train a modern swim right and number type of so on put I am this way right now and yeah papa not a fault and papa na and yes and yes but yami and no and yen and coupon not fire was a shell or a fast person. And what he's saying here, the Jewish the people of Israel, God gave them the Old Testament system of worship. As we go we explain that. So there was a time that Christ has come, they should see that they have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were still holding on to the old. Meaning that though they had the old system with God approved, now God has abolished it. So they should put it aside. So that's their fault. So what they had was truly in the old, what God, the sacrifices, and though they have even abused it, but then at least that was what they had. So it wasn't that, it wasn't something like they were not idol worshippers, as our ancestors were. It was something God gave them. But to the point that Christ has come, it is that part of way of worshiping God was no more, but they were holding on to that. So you see, even in their case, they weren't idolaters, but rather they were doing something which God has put it aside. So that is, and he said that they were not worshiping God, they were not being religious according to God's knowledge. It's a serious matter, you see, it's a serious matter. Because the Lord God gave them, every religious Jew believed God gave them the law they have. They all believe it. That Moses, I mean God gave the law to Moses to them, and they were very jealous of the glory and excellence of the law. That's why they even had to go to the extreme and do many things that were not right. So they were accustomed to observe the rituals of the ceremonial law, all the sacrifices and all the various washings and the system. They were very, very, especially those who were, I mean, sincere, because there were some who were, I mean, in the time that this law was there, they were careless. But then there were many who were also very, very careful. The various sacrifices, how they have to sacrifice the animal, the washings, the cleanings, and the tabernacle or the temple worship, they were very careful about it. So they were sincere people. Apostle Paul himself was like them before he became, I mean, the Lord sent him. So they were sincere people, but yet their sincerity was not in the way according to knowledge. You see how it is. Because most of them did not consider the spiritual lesson. Well, all the systems were to teach them a lesson, were pointing to the Savior. You see, the purpose of those rites, the ceremonial law, the sacrifice, animal sacrifices, the temple worship, and all the various ordinances that were given to them, it was a pointer. It wasn't the final thing, but they held on to that. And the air can say, Israel for ya, Apostle Paul said, or nyape, and more moon was also by say, Yangu Ponjo, only Yango, almost not a small moon, yes, almost my boss would say, and I don't know. No way, a small moon, no more, a small at it, and Yangu Ponjama, Israel for. Then you have someone, and then woman, couple and brap was a poor guy that's saying, not Yangu Ponja, someone that would. This Christopher Banty, where you sat, or Titisono, if you hope. And you know, sir, I'm going to go back to Baptist. So if you say, "Yaku mama amosa, I'm running for almost some money, miss ma, I'm going to for Rania, I'm going to go to the money, I don't know. Ne, it's so much new maybe. And you know, ne idea, ne ye, idea also with you, Munisha and Kasa. So that whatever jealousy that misguided led these misguided Jews to have a kind of religious zeal for God were worthless. Whatever motive they had were worthless because God has abolished that. So that they were jealous. I mean, some of them were called jealous, meaning that the things they know that about God, if you joke about it, they would die with their life. Some of them were willing to die for the things they do. So, but it was a misguided zeal, you see. So whatever jealousy they had, for the things of God, whatever desire and desire they have, it wasn't right. It was worthless because it wasn't according to knowledge. That's a serious matter. It is that in your day, it's a sad thing, that also. I'm sure if you read the history of the people of Israel, even in the latter years, the war of the Maccabees, the first and second, those wars, we can, and even the other atrocities, the barbarities that were committed by them, even the highest of all, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and the subsequent persecution of the early disciples, and they did all this in the name of the glory of God. Apostle Paul himself said it. He thought that his persecution of the Jews was doing God's will. You see, in this Jew for ya, almost some yamu akwanya go pon etwe mu oyi. No mu omo ya so mu de omo hu si opa for sadia. Na me ka so omo ko so na e ka Israel for history. You to me hu sa Jew for ya omo mesma na omo ye ama se yamu pon ni omo na omo ni mu ni bere ko pa. So u bro ngura amu de omo kra kra beto ho ama. Said that I thought I was doing the work of God. You see, they thought they were doing the work of God, but then they were influenced by this unintelligent zeal. I mean, zeal without knowledge. That's what you say. Unintelligent zeal. They had the knowledge of what they are doing, but it wasn't proper. You see, God, the things of God were not to be done by hand. They were doing as at them. So you see, they were misled, and then whatever they did was misguided. Because it wasn't according to God. It's a serious matter, you see. Nowadays, people think, well, church is church. Is that not so? I'm sure we can also read the history of false churches in church history. You see, many false churches encourage tyrannies in nations and in countries, in kingdoms, to kill people, to destroy people and do all sorts of things. Even to persecute other Christians who didn't believe the same thing with them. I'm sure we know in church history. They were influenced by wrong zeal for the glory of God. You see, when it comes to the things of when we are not in, we don't have the right knowledge and we begin to do things, we err. It's dangerous than idolatry. Because you do the thing as if you are doing for God and you end up rather causing harm. And idolatry is our idolatry. So you see, in the church history, I know that secular historians will say, oh, in the church is where the Church of Christ did, persecuted people, oppressed people, and all that. It's true, the church, in fact, there was a false church. That wasn't the true church of Jesus Christ. God, Lord Jesus Christ has never thought that we should, his religion should be a barbaric and murderous religion. No. But then, I'm sure we know churches that did that. In kingdoms, in nations, they were even controlling emperors, kings, and whatever, lawyers all over. In those times where there was kingdoms. And some even still do today. But whatever, they did, were moved by wrongdoing in the name of God. They thought they were preserving the truth of God. To read some of the church history, you see, they make laws in nations so that if you're in Ghana, they say this is what the church believes. So if you are a church, you don't believe this, you should be taken to law court and be criminalized and killed. It's amazing that knows. And the church promoted, some four churches promoted that. God's truth is not, implemented by force. No. We preach it and God Himself working in people's hearts. If we want to preserve God's truth, we don't use, weapons. We don't use, human effort. God is ever the Almighty to enforce His truth. But by wrong zeal, people say, well, we have to guard about God's truth. No. Let them have the Bible. Let people corrupt whatever they will corrupt. If people have the Bible, God's truth, they will know. Some will know God's truth. See? But we are talking about wrong zeal. So that is why I'm saying all this. So, in this is about nations and kings, but by extension, whatever passion anyone has for the name of God without proper knowledge of His truth is wrong. It's a wrong thing. Look at many charismatic churches, what they do. You tell them, oh, you have a friend who, the Bible doesn't teach the Bible. No, you don't care about what the Bible says. What they care about is what their prophet or some experience, somebody is telling about something to them. They don't want even to check in the Bible is true, and they take it and continue with that. No. There are so many wrongs done in the name of God's church. The people who are not being Christian, when they look at this, all this more part, they will say, oh, look at it. Even Christian churches are doing that. You see, wrong zeal. People want to be preachers or pastors or evangelists with wrong motives. See? Because what the Bible teaches us about the things of God, they don't want to even open their eyes to see. So by sense, whatever zeal we have for God, if it's against anything of God, it's wrong zeal. If our zeal for God makes us become envious of others, if our zeal for God makes us become like Peter against others, if our zeal for God makes us become even work against the church or the true church, we are having a wrong zeal. If it's a genuine zeal, it will be of love, it will be of, even if there's a wrong done to us, we will do it with pity. When Stephen was being stoned, what did he say? Lord, forgive these people. When the Lord Jesus was thinking, what did he say? They didn't know what they are doing. That's the example we follow, not what our heart moves us. So that whatever we have to do against anyone in the name of God, and that is, in the name of God, we can't do anything against anyone anyway. That's a wrong way to see. In the name of God, we can't do anything against anyone. Anything we do that is wrong against anyone in the name of God is wrong. God will never approve any misconduct against His truth. God is the God. If a wrong is done against us, leave it to God. If you're a Christian, say, vengeance is mine, I'll recompense. So you see, zeal without proper knowledge of His God's truth lead to many severe sins. And Apostle Paul tell us one of the majors that has come to the people of Israel. The next verse will teach us what this zeal have led them to even things of salvation. Even before I move on, we just ask many people go to this all night prayers. What is moving them? Ask them, well, my marriage, money, business. No. Why do we pray? Jesus Christ says, pray that we don't enter into temptation. You see, do you know the lesson telling us? Prayer most is about spiritual matters. It's not about temporal matters. God gives to those who don't even pray. You see? But for this, go to Friday night, go to our churches. They're all night prayer meetings. What is it for? My illness, my business, my money, my family, my marriage. That's a wrong thing, you see? Because they're not prayer going to knowledge. The American said, Less than a chance and fireball, effort. Soon, soon, your mouth. Say a cranny, young couple, if it be a deep one, so, and then here. If you are saying your mouth, my grandson, I am for the mom. Or my boy, I was so for going, if you are saying your mouth. So, why do you worry yourself with those things? If you don't have it, you commit our life to God. See, well, the Lord just told us, we should not be anxious about worldly things. You see, but People pray. People go to prayer meetings. It's anxiety about worldly things. Fear and desire for worldly things. No. The Christian. So that the vampire nam say we are sending Omasua. Kekenjina vampire. We put it in this morning. Yeah, we put it. Bible is right. So let me move on to verse 3. That's where verse 4 will tell us about their ignorance. For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, all the blind zeal of the people, of Israel, misled them to think that they will obtain righteousness by merely doing the requirements of the law. You see, what Apostle Paul is telling us here is that they were not mindful of what God righteousness about. So they went about to establish they imagined their own righteousness. Because in the verse I told that they were the knowledge of God having is ignorant. It's a blind zeal. Their zeal for God is blind. So that whatever they will think of about their relation with God becomes error. So while they are good people, they are fighting for God and also. So we are God's people. What righteousness do we have our own righteousness, that's how they say. See, so the blind zeal of this Israelite misled them indeed to think they cannot obtain something from God's righteousness by merely doing the requirements of the law, by merely observing the things that the law says that God, they will be right with God. They were not mindful that by breaking one law, no obedience is able to cancel that breakage or that breach. You see, that's what they were not mindful of. That if, well, I obey all, now break only one law, all the law, whatever obedience I have given to the law, they are cancelled. You see? This was the ignorance. They were not mindful of this. This is what it means to be ignorant of God's righteousness. That you think that you can be accepted before God, and yet yourself, you are a sinner. You are trusting on your imperfect righteousness. Look how James tells us, James chapter 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That's what the Bible says. So, that's the Bible language. So, if you think you can go to God with your own righteousness, and no human being can have that perfect righteousness, because we are sinners. So how can you go to God trusting the good thing you think you have done? It's ignorance of God's righteousness. You are ignorant of what it means to be righteous before God. Apostle Paul, they all cannot say. So, So by ignoring this truth, many even today seek to please God by doing some good things to please Him. That also, nipa bebre nempo no. Amu fu isa o yangu o yenye deba yangu bade yeye papa yakwa yangu bade. Yeye papa ibo auto baye boni deba yeye papa mani media na akata so. Tadi. So odi yangu pone kure tunichanya abuni san treni semuhiya. You are putting aside the truth of God is one. The way of righteousness is one. So these Jews were seeking to establish their own righteousness by what? By their observance of the ceremonial laws and the moral lines. So in doing this thing and many other things, these ignorant Jews did not submit themselves to the law, to the righteousness of God. So when they have imagined and set up their own, God's own truth is set aside. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's what people are doing today too. So they imagine a kind of righteousness which is in contrast to how God declares sinners righteous. ọmọ pẹtẹrẹ yẹn ayanku pọn ni ẹkọ ọfà sọ kásá àtún ọdúbú àtún àdìbọyẹn pọ sọ ọmọ yà àtún ní ìfọ ọdún ọmọ dì àtún jẹ it's amazing sẹ ọsọọsọ ọyanku pọ sọ wọn kásá wọn bí ọfà wọn ọmọ ẹkú tí a mọ that is every false belief that's how it leads us to if we are not people that we have come genuinely to God that our hearts are changed who want to desire his truth alone who want his truth and nothing else we will always be misled by all sorts of things and you imagine that we know the truth God's truth is one the will of God to justify sinners is one so that if you set up any system apart from that you are wrong you see so this false deal by these Jewish people we led them to wrong what idea about how to be accepted with God. They thought they were religious, you see? And yet, how to be truly religious, they threw it aside. It's amazing. You know what many people are also doing today? Many base their salvation on church attendance. In their offerings and tithes they pay, helping others, being morally good in their own eyes, or doing something in the church. We see they be more so. I'm going to go to the house. Merciful to forgive. No, these things cannot cancel anything. No good can do anything about our sins. God's way of justifying sinners is only one. You see, if we kill ourselves in the name of God and we don't have this righteousness, we will then go to hell. See, a queen at home, and my uncle Pondin, that's the name of the train here, it will work upon something. God has not sent, I mean, has God sent you to do that, you see. So God, the things of God are so particular. You see, do you know those who are starting to be righteous, do you know what they are doing? And coming to God. An old preacher said that it's like trying to travel by sea with a paper boot. How can you travel by sea with a paper boot? And that's what they are doing. How can you go to God before going with your righteousness, which is imperfect? How far that paper boot can get you is how far your righteousness can get you to God. So it's a serious matter because God has denounced our righteousness. He has said that our righteousness, not our wickedness, is filthy rags. So if you go your papa is what the account is saying in my funeral, so that's it. And then I won't know Father Abandoning, say, right, the way I may fast for Abba, so the money better. No, you can't do that. You see, so he's telling us that they have what? They did not submit to God's righteousness. He tells us, all God, that righteousness of God is about. But the idea is that because if you set up your own way of acceptance with God, you don't want to submit. And the word is great. How do we submit? We bow our knees, we bow our head, we surrender everything. Have you seen how when there's a war and people capture prisoners, what happens? They take their weapons, they lift up their hands, they have no power again. That's what it means. You submit. You take any confidence in whatever you do, and you submit. Without total submission and taking your eyes from any good you have no come to God. Because you have to prepare, you have to submit to him. You have to throw away any good you have and come for his. Somebody is giving you a gift and your hands are already full. How can you take it? The righteousness that God gives us is a gift. We'll see it in the next verse. How can you take this righteousness when you already have your own? You see? You go for any training or the man, you know. So, how we can obtain this righteousness You point us to him. You point us to the person. As we all know, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Christ is the end of the law. What does it mean? You see that what is telling the Jewish people is that the purpose of the ceremonial laws, their system of sacrifices, their worship, and all the requirements God gave them was pointing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all that God intended to give them was to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, so that now that the Lord Jesus Christ has atoned for sin, he has satisfied all punishment for sin, for the breaches of God's law by sinners who believe in him. So that what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, he has done it for all who have broken God's law, all of us who have breached God's law, all of us who have come, and every sinner has broken God's law. You see, he did it for us. And that when we come to believe in him, the punishment he has taken away, our punishment is just what? Taken away, because he did it in the mind of all those who come to believe in him. So that as a sinner, when I come to Lord Jesus Christ, what he suffered on the cross, he suffered for me. So that when I come to believe in him and trust in him as my Savior, God look upon me as if I suffered on the cross of Calvary. He pities me, you see, that my sins were put on him, then he forgives me. So that this is what the ceremonial laws were pointing. So that in the Old Testament, when the Jews were sacrificing, those who were believers, they saw, because when Abraham himself, the Lord Jesus Christ told the people of Israel, you don't believe what I say, in John chapter 8, your father Abraham saw my day, he was happy, he rejoiced to see my day. Even through the sacrifice of Isaac and all, Abraham was able to, by prophecy, to see that the Savior will come. And yet you have come, I stand before you, and you don't believe me. That's what he told them. See, the purpose of the law was that it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, especially the ceremonial law, where God, you know, the law of God, the moral law, that one is the eternal law of God. But the ceremonial law, you see, it has these lessons. You see, when people sin, now God has given them the moral law, and they will sin. So the ceremonial law was added so that when I sin, there's a way of cleansing. You see, that's the purpose. All the sacrifices and rituals, now the people begin church, have church, they want to practice some of the Old Testament, and they don't even check that, what does it mean? And like beating of drums, now the people think they should beat drums. And even in the Old Testament, they were not beating drums in their church. In their worship, they were not dancing in their worship. Israel people use drums and other things. When they go to war, they have their public and social gatherings, not in the church. They will say, David dance. So what did David dance? David never danced in the church. He was coming from, it was a public affair, he danced. No priest ever danced in the temple. No worshiper went there to worship the temple, the sacrifice, the prayers, and the reading of the law. That's all. The singing. They sang there, they never danced there. There was a choir in the Old Testament. The whole family who were singing, nobody danced there. You see? And they'll go back and say, oh, some of them go and pick candles. And they use candles in churches because in the Old Testament they were using candles. What's the purpose, you see? All those were pointers. Now we listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, did the Lord Jesus Christ dance or his disciples dance? They established the church. The apostles, did they dance? No. Why churches think they should do those things? See? False deal is a problem. So ceremonial law were pointing to him so that, and for the Lord Jesus Christ, he did two things for us. He came to cancel the ceremonial law by his sacrifice, and also came to obey the law, the moral law, perfectly. So you see what he has done. So by his sacrifice, our sins are what? Forgiven us and canceled. By his perfect obedience to the law, the moral law, he has secured for us a perfect righteousness for all who believe in him. So he said, when I come to Lord Jesus Christ, my sins are cancelled. Then his righteousness, by his full obedience, perfect obedience of the moral law, the which we call the Ten Commandments, it's credited to me. But though, now when I become a Christian and God changes my heart, I still have my flesh. I'm not righteous by myself, you see. But then, in my imperfection, God sees me by the righteousness of Christ. It's covered in the Old Testament. I didn't pick it up, but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ was put as a dress, as a robe of righteousness. A robe of righteousness. It covers me. So when God sees me, He doesn't see my sins. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross for me. His blood, which He shed. That's what He sees. And the Lord, when He sees me, remember that sacrifice. That's why in Romans chapter 8, God, there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. God has nothing against the believer who has come to Lord Jesus Christ, trust in His righteousness, and in all whom He has changed His heart to also live and love righteousness. You see. So this pointers is what the truth, the very truth God was intended to teach Israel. That the law was pointing to Christ. As for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes it. So that this pointing to Him, the ceremonial law, everything, it was a guide to Christ's come. The Bible, I'll go to one or two verses, saying that the law was a guide, ceremonial law was a guide to at least give them that picture of that, once for sacrifice, which Christ will come. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24-25, it says that, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. So you see how he described the law? Schoolmaster. See, it was a guide. It was like they were under, like a student under school. It was teaching us. It was a lesson that we were learning. And now that Christ has come, Christ, righteousness by faith. When we come to believe in Him, God what? Forgives us. So that's a righteousness by faith in Him. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 also, we have this. For the law having, the Old Testament, the ceremonial law, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things that can never be with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comments there unto perfect. So you see, each and every year they make animal sacrifice for the day of atonement, they atone for their sin. But the Bible tells us that those things were not making perfect. You see? But it was keeping. It was like something intermediate where God looked upon it, so that when Christ's sacrifice is done, all the sins of the people are put on Christ. Those animals cannot take away sin. You see? You cannot take away sin. But then God has unbelief misled some of these Israelites into. Unbelief misled them to many things. So they have, by retaining to the Old Testament ceremonial law system, they have embraced the shadow to the neglect of the substance. Because the people tell, the law was what? Was having what? A shadow of the good things to come. Also, just a reflection of the good things to come. When somebody is coming, you see the shadow. Yes, somebody is coming, but the shadow is nothing to you. You go to the person. You see? The law was what? A shadow. The same way, how can a hungry and a thirsty person be satisfied with a picture of food and water? Is it possible? When you are very hungry and thirsty, and you see restaurants, they've written, they've pictured food and water and drinks, I'm satisfied. That's what they are doing. By retaining these pictures, the ceremonial law was giving them pictures, you see. Actually, give them hope that there's food. That also. And then they retain the pictures. And when it comes to religion, if the Lord do not help us, we always hold on to the things that were teaching us something that we forget the truth itself, you see. So that's what they did. That's what they did. So they took the picture and left the substance, which is Christ Himself. See, and the picture cannot secure any perfect righteousness. Israel, for now, no more so Eddie Evan is saying, for a born is a new man, almost someone actually, and almost you see, the purpose of God to credit sinners with righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ And see, that's it when we feel ourselves that we are deficient. Your bank account is negative. And how can you use that negative account to prepare new documents? And then you see, nobody wants to do business with you. No bank will give you credit if you have a negative bank account. And yet, in things of moral life and spiritual life, people think that they can come to God with their negative righteousness for God to accept them. No. Our righteousness are negative because it's filthy. There's no mark on our righteousness before God. It's filthy. And the good thing is that the same God who gave his law, it's amazing, to show our sinfulness, that we might see our distance from him by every sin we commit. He also has purpose to save all who truly repent and believe in Jesus Christ. It's simple as that. It's God who has made us realize that we are sinners because we sin against his law. It's the same God who has also sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come. That he what? Forgive us. Give us his righteousness. If only we will repent and come and believe in him. Come and trust in him. Put our hope in him. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him, Lord, I surrender my life and I hope, I trust and I believe that you can save me. You see that those, the woman who came, oh Lord, thou come, the woman with the blood, thou canst make me whole. Oh Lord, only you can forgive and clear my sin and take me from my sin. Save me, the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when you come to paradise. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, equal with the Father. He has the same glory, the same perfection with him. But no, he was incarnated. This glorious God was incarnated because of our sins. For the purpose of coming to secure righteousness, which is perfect. And yet people reject this perfection. And this great work of the great God. And they want to walk about in their own righteousness. It's an insult to God's Son also. And God, like a rich person, have seen a poor person. Yes, they need it because I've seen they don't have it. And he's giving you a help. And out of bitterness, and I don't like it. And you live in your suffering. You suffer in that. That's a poor person. But that's what it is. God has the perfect righteousness we need. He knows that we cannot secure it. He said, happy the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him, repent of sin. This is the purpose I made him to be incarnated. This is the purpose I made him to come. That's why we go something substitutional atonement. What he did, you see, when they are playing football, we substitute players, and also when somebody started. when people are without strength, we take them out. So in Roma, we are talking about without strength, God set it up. That also. We are without moral strength. It's not that we don't have physical strength. Yes, we can be the macho and the man of strength, but then morality is before God, we have no strength before him. So we come to the Lord, and this is the great Savior who have come to suffer and died on our behalf. He suffered and died for sinners. His beatings and his troubles were for you and I. And yet we put it aside, we come to God with our own righteousness. You see, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done exactly and perfectly meet every sinner's need. Because no sinner has God's righteousness. And then God has purpose to establish us in righteousness if we come to him. And God indeed has manifested wisdom that he has punished the Lord Jesus Christ so that he will forgive us. It's amazing truth. But my question to you before I come to an end, what righteousness do you have? Mr. Yankupon, Nyan Semono, we are fan of Jesus Christ. Ah, only no, I am Baku. Only no, new Nyam, and nay, I'm with you, I am Baku. A small basset umbra, I am the umbra, no, my any other boy, who are any. Ahoɔden yɛn san so yɛni papa bi a wɔ n'anim na ɔmɛ yɛ ntɛm zɛn ni no ma yɛ bɔne na sɛ yɛgye ne di a ne yɛ sakrifi yɛ bɔne de yɛ rehyɛ ne mu a yɛ bɔne a yɛnya wɔtwam na ne papa no a wayɛ no ayɛ dɛn ɔde ato yɛ account efisɛ nnipa yɛ te asase so abaabɔ ka sɛ yɛ papa te sɛ ntomago fi nti ɛte sɛ yɛ bank account a aka yɛ negative aka yɛni hwee yɛde kakra wo na woka no a papa no a ɛyɛ ma wɔde ka no so de bɛya mmienu so si. That's an American, so we send this time to ourselves. Train a band now, the band and put point in. A good point in with train a band at the band. This what I'm supposed to see us. Let me read to you the verse again. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. When we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, All our unrighteousness is cancelled. All our imperfection is cancelled. Though we ourselves are unrighteous and sinners, God sees us as righteous. God will make us His own. So if you have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have His righteousness, come to Him. Ask Him. You only have to Him. Submit to God's righteousness by giving yourself to Jesus Christ and call on Him. He will save you. Say, we will be on for home. It's all tension never now. So I'm sure Him that's an issue with you. So we're in Daniel. So now, on Tina, so by a group on my and group on NG will to know foul in your son in Banibia. Than a name, sir, not on far or one in church. But it's Christian national manufacturer. So the chair war, the group on the power and the thing back. Let's pray.